With most things in life, there is usually more to what we see than what meets our eye, leaving us to our own meaningful interpretations and our own beautiful stories. When it comes to art, Greg's is no exception. We all see ourselves, our loved ones, our pains, our triumphs, and our hearts in these paintings. From Greg's studio to our living rooms, these images take on new and different meaning with each wall they hang on and each life they touch. Now, Greg invites you to take a glimpse behind the curtain into his own stories and inspirations of his art. Because just like us, these creations have a deeper story to tell, and if we let them, we'll find that they have the power to be healing, inspiring, and awakening. Hey guys, before we jump into today's conversation with my dad and I just wanted to apologize for a little bit of background noise you're going to hear about a third of the way through our conversation. It was so stinking hot where we were recording this, and so you just hear the AC crank on, but it only lasts a couple of minutes, so bear through the annoyance and it'll pass.
Hi Kylie, how are you?
Good, thanks for the introduction. Kylie. Olson Lindsay here with you, my dad, Greg, the artist, and today we're going to do something fun. We're going to talk about behind the scenes of a picture instead of...
Yeah. First of all, do we want to apologize for being...
Yeah, I'll let you do that.
You know, even out of commission for a little while.
Yeah, we've been on like a 2.5 week hiatus.
Yeah. Well, much of that time we had something called Cousins Camp at our house. Cousins Camp means... all of our kids, 6 kids, and all of their kids show up at our house for a week, and we just have tons of fun.
It's nonstop stuff.
Nonstop stuff.
Going for 5 or 6 days straight.
It's wonderful. Everybody's, it's kind of...
Well, we'd considered trying to record something during the week, but we quickly realized the noise levels in the house were inescapable.
It's a lot of fun. It's kind of like heaven, and it's kind of like... Purgatory. Armageddon, purgatory, yeah. It is one crazy place, so.
Oh, it's so fun. Actually, every year when it ends, I always feel this, like, emotional hangover the next 4 days. It's like I feel homesick almost after everybody goes home, because it's...
Yeah, it's like the day after almost, Christmas.
Yeah, you have, like, 30 people under the same roof for a week, and it's nonstop play, nonstop yummy treats, nonstop cute babies. And then it just comes to a screeching halt. Yeah. But it was fun.
It was really a lot of fun.
And you and Mom were so generous to host everybody. Well,
it was great to have everybody there.
Yeah. So we had that on top of my extreme forgetfulness. This is like the third time we've tried to record this. The first time I forgot a cord. The second time I forgot the other cord. The other time we had pop-in visitors. So it just finally we're here. It's fun to be back.
It is fun to be back. I missed this too.
Okay, so we decided this week to do, rather than just spewing thoughts about things, we wanted to do a little behind-the-scenes stories. Because there are so many fun... I feel like most of your paintings have some sort of cute or comical backstory to them that most people don't get to hear. So on top of spiritual things, it's fun to hear the funny things behind all of the paintings.
Well, they're usually just quaint, simple little stories, but there is always some kind of a backstory as you... create a piece. So today we're talking about In His Light. Mm-hmm. And wow, this was done several years ago. It's interesting because I use models for my paintings, and I may have mentioned this before, but over the years I've probably used over a dozen different models as kind of a starting point for the figures that include Jesus in them.
And can I interrupt you and say that these models are coming from like... pizza parlors, grocery stores, passers on the street. Like, when you see something that might work, you and Mom both, you're like creepy little stalkers. Excuse me, can I bother you for a second?
No, I don't do that anymore.
You kind of look like Jesus.
I let Sid do it because it's so embarrassing.
No, okay.
So one time she called me from the grocery store and said, Greg, I'm here at the grocery store, and there's a guy in produce that looks just like Jesus.
And then she had
a few minutes later, he shows up on the porch of my studio.
Someone comes over intercom.
Yeah.
To the man in aisle 7, can you report to cash register 3?
Yeah, so we are a creepy bunch. It's hard to do that in a tactful, distasteful, non-threatening way. So, but anyway, Sid's good to help me out. But this particular piece has a figure of Jesus in it and a little boy. And it's funny because I think the little boy who played the role in this painting is now like married and probably has kids of his own. So that's how fast time goes by. It sort of freaks me out. But anyway, in this piece, I was, you know, having kids of my own and grandkids now, there's something tender about little children. And, you know, Jesus often talked about, suffer the little children to come unto me and that kind of a thing. And so I've always enjoyed incorporating them in paintings. But on this occasion, I had a person who I'd selected to model for the figure of Jesus. And I knew at some point I wanted a little child at his side, but I hadn't found just the right one. But I was so anxious to get started that I went ahead with the model portraying Jesus, and he was sort of posing with an invisible child at his side. And I thought, you know, when I find just the right little kid, I'll dub him in after the fact. But I just was excited to get started. So I got costuming, and I had this model come to my studio. He was dressed up, and he was posing with an invisible kid at his side.
Partway, like, did he have his arm out extended?
He actually had his arm extended as if he's got it around a little person. And in a case like this, the model I had was not a professional model. He had a real job. I'd become friends with him, and so he only had a couple of hours that he could come and pose. And in a case like that, I might do a few rough sketches, but the majority of the time is filled up with collecting reference through photography. So I was taking tons of photographs, and somewhere during this modeling session, a knock came at the door of the studio. So we took a time out, and I went and answered the door, and there on the porch was this man, this model's wife. And she had brought with her their young son, and they'd come to see what Dad was up to. And I remember the little boy looked over. I invited them in, and the little boy came in and saw his dad dressed up in this costume, and he ran over to his father and leaned on his knee and looked up at his dad. And then he said something like, "Dad, what are you doing?" He said, "Why are you all dressed up like this?" Because his dad's there in robes and sandals. And he thought his dad looked pretty strange. So his dad, I remember, just put his arm around his young son, just naturally, and started to try to explain to him what we were up to, what we were trying to create there in this photo shoot. And the little boy looked up at him and listened, and they just had this natural connection, a natural rapport. And it was kind of like something tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, "Duh," or "Hello, Greg." And I saw instantly that this was the kid I'd been hoping for. And so I quietly grabbed my camera and I took another series of photographs of this little boy with what was actually his father, his dad. And since then, you know, it just turned out, I think it's one of my favorite pieces because of the connection between these two individuals. It would have been nearly impossible, I think, having dealt with other kids and using them as models. At that age, at least, it's almost impossible to, you know, ask them to give you a certain expression, you know, an expression of love and admiration. It doesn't happen, yeah. But it was just a natural thing. I just was observing what was going on between the two of them, and it just clicked. And it was just a little blessing, you know, almost from heaven that it turned out the way it did. So I've thought many times how lucky I was, and also what a cool reminder that is of our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus, who's often referred to as our elder brother. You know, those are family kinds of labels that we put on them, and they at least denote a kind of closeness and connection that is very intimate, very tender and loving, just like what I was observing there. And I found it helpful to remind myself of that sort of family kind of connection, you know, that there is a love there that exists, just like I was witnessing in front of me. There's that parent-child thing is about as close as we can get, or that family connection when you talk about, you know, how God loves us or how Jesus loves us.
And I think there's so much to dissect in that story between what was happening between that little boy and the man posing for Jesus, and also the role that you played in it, which is, I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, oh, shoot, how often do I do that, where I have something that I'm trying to orchestrate in my life,
yeah.
And I think that I have the control to manufacture all of the moving parts, and then it's like something bigger, like you said, comes and taps me on the shoulder, and it's like, hey, the answer's right in front of your face. If yeah. you'll just take a breather yeah. and realize there's something bigger sustaining this, and take a back seat and just enjoy yeah. what's in front of you, and the answer will reveal itself.
Yeah.
It's like driving a car. You know, when you get in, you don't have to worry about the engine or take care of the brakes or the gas. It's all working. It's all sustaining you. You just kind of get to enjoy where you want to go on the journey. And I think our relationship with God oftentimes looks like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. I'm sustaining you. There's this force taking care of all of the moving parts. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Just be still and realize the beauty that's already right in front of you.
Oh, yeah. How often has that happened where what you thought you wanted
mm-hmm.
maybe didn't come about, and then something even better, totally beyond specific efforts that you've made,
mm-hmm.
just manifested. I think the best things that have happened in my life tend to be things that I didn't necessarily orchestrate directly. Maybe you're kind of in a receptive zone, you know, you're open to those kinds of things, and you're staying in motion, but a lot of those things I couldn't have even thought of myself. They just kind of came into mm-hmm. play, and you go, wow, that's way better mm-hmm. than what I was thinking of. And that has happened over and over again to me. And wow, I'm grateful that that happens. If you kind of get into the flow of that, you can sort of let go of some of the control
mm-hmm.
and some of the fear and worry mm-hmm. about how it's all going to turn out, and realize, you know, there's things at work behind the scenes that will get you there. So
yeah, we just get to sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a difference, I think, too, between control and creative participation. You know, when we understand yeah. that there is a force sustaining us, then we get to creatively participate. You know,
yeah.
you that moment in that painting, that photo shoot, it took a certain awareness for you to capture that moment. You had to be tuned in and aware in order and receptive enough for that to be able to come and have your eyes open.
I almost missed it because yeah. I was just sitting there. And really, it took like a tap on my shoulder like,
yeah.
hello.
That's great.
Are you kidding?
Did you know
you're
right
gonna
away,
miss this.
Like, that's it. That's exactly what I'm going to use.
Well, it took a few.
Once
it
out.
Dawned on me,
yeah.
I went, well, of course, yeah. hello. But honestly, it just about slipped by me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I could have actually let them come and go and then headed out, you know, to the mall looking for another little kid when it had played out right in front of me. And I mean, maybe it ended up being so obvious that that I would have caught on, but I remember distinctly not getting it for a minute and then it dawning on me like, hello, I woke up. And
why do you think that is? Why do you think some creative projects just kind of come, everything comes naturally, all the pieces fall together, and other times it feels like it takes more of our exertion?
I don't know. Sometimes the way I look at life is that we are here to have all kinds of experiences. Mm-hmm. I think we participate in experiences differently. And I know there have been projects in the art world that I've worked on that have just been a ton of work. Changed it and revamped it, reworked it. And sometimes those turn out okay too. And it just felt like in that case, I was here to learn what it's like to just grind it out and try and fail and try again and fail and try again. And then other times it just seems to fall into place. I wish I knew what the formula was that determined that it was one or the other. And I'd always pick the easy way if I had a choice, but I know I need both of those.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of our human responsibility, though, to say yes, even regardless of how easy it is.
Yeah.
That we show up and we're willing to creatively participate.
Yeah.
No matter what. I think it's fulfilling regardless. Yeah. Well,
cool. You know, another thing, I mean, I touched on it before, but one of the lessons of this painting in kind of a spiritual sense is that perhaps we ought to focus a little bit more on the connection we have with God. If we refer to him often as our Heavenly Father, there's something in that designation that refers to the kind of relationship, the quality of relationship that we ought to feel.
Right.
And when you think of a parent and a child, I know my own children. I hope that you make good choices and those kinds of things, but I know that's not reality. You're going to do things that might ache and wish, I feel bad for the lessons
the
you might learn.
Kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Never happened with you.
No, but I know.
But my love is always there. And I've probably forgiven you before you ever had to ask for forgiveness, if that was part of the equation. And that, oh my goodness, I would never want you to feel alienated from me because of anything that you've done or said. I am always going to be there. And if I can do that, you know, a loving Heavenly Father has to be far beyond me in the capacity, you know, to love. I think we ought to feel comfortable with that relationship. So.
Amen.
Amen. This is always fun to do, Kylie.
Yeah, so. I missed you. This is fun. And we did it in a 98 degree room.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well.
All right.
I love you.
I was going to say, I love you too. One other thing. If people even have images that they think would be interesting for us to talk about,
you
or
take
questions.
Requests.
Yeah, we take requests. So.
We're living the rock star life.
No.
I love you.
I love you too.
Sweaty
Kylie.
High five.
Thanks. Love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.